Hello and welcome to Dear Franny, the podcast where I have uncommon conversations about love with fascinating people. I'm your host, Francesca Hoagie. In today's episode, I have an amazing conversation with Tazima Paris. Tazima is a sex and relationship intimacy coach. And if you are a woman or a person who has sex with women, you should 100% listen to this interview with Tazima. Even if you don't have sex with women or are not a woman yourself, you don't identify as a woman, honestly, this interview was so insightful. We talk about intimacy, we talk about communication, we talk about pleasure, we talk about the pleasure gap, we talk about so many wonderful and exciting and inspiring things, and Tazima drops so many pearls of wisdom. She shares some insights I've never had before, and I think a lot about everything we're discussing. So I'm really excited for you to hear this interview. Please enjoy. This is a podcast that's about fresh and interesting perspectives on love, on relationships, on sex, on romance, just conversations that I don't hear happening a lot of places. And I started this podcast because I want to have conversations with people who I find fascinating and who I think are bringing something really new and really interesting and really insightful to the conversation that we have culturally about love and relationships. And my guest today is 100% that person. So I am welcoming to Dear Franny, Tazima Paris. Hey, Tazima.
Hey, good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to talk to you. So for those of you who are listening who are not yet familiar with Tazima, she supports high-achieving women over 40 who are professionally successful but struggling in their romantic lives. Amen. I love those women as well. Mm-hmm. She is building a global movement to bring consciousness back into relationships. After 20 years of researching sex and human behavior, she helps clients find love, increase intimacy, and have more satisfying sex. Yes.
So
who doesn't
important.
Want that?
So important.
So important. Tazima is a sought-after expert, having spoken at over 100 events in just 5 years. That's a lot. I've spoken at like five in 5 years. She presents talks, facilitates workshops, and coaches clients across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Welcome to Dear Franny, Tazima Paris.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So good to be here.
So you were in Chicago. What's happening in Chicago?
I grew up here, interestingly. So I grew up, really interestingly, about 4 blocks away from where I currently live. It wasn't a plan, but I had run around the nation as well as the world between the time that I was 5 down the block and today's bio that you right. that you read. So yeah, it's right now, and I'm looking out my window, and there's fabulous blooms happening and springtime yumminess on the trees. And so I don't have allergies, so I can fully enjoy it.
I'm so excited. You know, I live in LA, and as you know, that's where I'm broadcasting from. Even in LA, I mean, people say that we don't have seasons, but we do. And we have all the blooms and we have all the flowers. And yeah. It's so exciting to me. And I just know, having grown up in New York and spending many, many years in that climate, like spring, there's nothing better. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's so good. So it's so good.
I'm really excited for you. And it may be the only thing that's better than spring is sex.
And you know, spring is the time when people think about sex. Everybody's on the East Coast and cooler climates. People are pulling out of clothes right now. So it's really, it's that time. People are getting frisky. And I like to help folks bring consciousness to whatever it is they're doing.
So talk to me about the consciousness. So when you say that, you know, you're bringing consciousness back into relationships, what does that mean?
To me, relationship, romantic relationships specifically, and all relationships, because if you really get good at the hardest relationship, which is romantic relationship, all of your relationships improve. The difficult conversations that you need to have when you bring responsibility, consciousness, awareness to this human-to-human interaction, you can really see and feel the other person as a person. And not some object that's thwarting your way or wanting to get something from you. Or, you know, I think there's a lot of conversation, especially with sort of the rise of awareness around concepts like narcissism or codependence. So people are getting these buzzwords, and they're also layering these buzzwords on top of their own personal baggage. And unfortunately, it really gets in the way of what we're really after, which is the human-to-human connection, being seen, heard, yeah. known. And unless you can cleanly request that, which requires some consciousness, you probably won't get it, because our default setting, especially among heterosexual couples, our default setting is a really bad model. We have really bad examples.
So culturally speaking, you know, I know that you know, and you and I see this all the time, how people's frustration is at an all-time high in terms of feeling disconnected mm-hmm. and feeling like intimacy and relationships are something that maybe is not going to happen for them, or something that's not still something that people want. I'm sure you have people who come to you, especially, you know, the women, the single women that you work with, and you also work with couples, which I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But the single women that you work with, what's your response to that? Do people still want relationships?
Well,
do they still want intimacy?
That's a good question. And I run into this a lot, as I know you do as well. Most of what people don't want is they don't want a repeat of what they had before. And then they will conflate that with, I don't want a relationship, or I don't want a relationship right now, or this sucks, yeah. or relationship sucks. No, mm-hmm. your historical experience with relationship sucks. I often get the responses from my clients or people who have heard my work or even been to a talk there. They come back to me, or sometimes I'll hear what they're saying, or they'll post on Facebook or something, that my relationship is so different now because I've been more responsible about myself. And that's the other part about it, is everybody wants to look outside of themselves to see, oh, it's this person, or what's my strategy. Even if people want to know what the text is to send, you yeah, would know yes. if you had consciousness what text to send and when.
Oh my God, I know.
If you were conscious about it, you would know, yeah, I'm really out of sorts here. I'm trying to really impress this person. That's what consciousness brings.
Yeah.
And if you can yeah. put that stuff down, you know, consciousness is like a full level of responsibility. And by the way, don't think I have this totally 100% figured out and my relationship is all smooth 100% of the time. No, it's not. I mean, I'm married. My husband is wonderful. He's awesome. He's an awesome mirror. And he helps me to bring consciousness to what's going on for me. And he now knows, like, this is not about me. When I'm bringing yeah. my like cranky pants over there, mm-hmm, he's like, this is mm-hmm. not about me. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm just scared about something else.
Seriously, you know what? It's game changing
totally.
When in a relationship, you can start to realize like, oh, this person is reflecting something back to me. Like,
completely.
This is not their wrong. What's their problem? This is like, oh, wait a second.
Yep.
There's something in me that's bringing this out. Yep. There's something in me that I'm being triggered because it's triggering something in me, like, ooh. It's game changing because mm-hmm. then you can actually come together and not just be bumping heads and trying to make the other one wrong all of the time.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about couples and relationships. So I know that, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that you do is that you work with couples and you work with them to have better sex and more consistent sex. And what is your, and I, you know, the last time we spoke, I told you, I really salute you for working with couples because, mm-hmm. because I think that it's really hard because you have to make sure that both people are on the same page and the commitment has to be there for both people, which is, you know, not always the case, obviously, and that could be challenging. I think it would be an easy response if someone were to say like, okay, we're together. We just don't have sex anymore. Mm-hmm. We can't motivate ourselves to do it. I know we should, but we don't want to. Da-da. At what point do you realize, do you say, okay, maybe you shouldn't be together? Or at what point do you say like, okay, there are some things going on here that you can improve? How do you kind of make that decision?
So there are a couple things here. One is that I don't work with couples who, if anyone in the relationship has a foot out the door, that just won't work because it's always the person who cares less that controls the relationship, period. And that goes with,
ooh, yeah, damn,
right? Right.
Oh my God. Oh, so, wow. That's so deep.
Yeah.
That just blew my mind. You're right.
And even inside of a relationship, the person who cares less about that particular subject also, so if you really care about the cleanliness of the bathtub, the person who cares less,
which I do,
the person who cares less is like, whatevs, that's on you.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Same for sex. Is the person who cares less or the person who's more triggered? And I want to just bump back really quick to you mentioning triggers. Our triggers are only triggers if we already have pain that related to that particular trigger.
Damn, you are a quote machine. Yes.
Otherwise, it won't be a thing for you.
it won't be a thing.
It won't be a thing.
You have no reaction.
Yeah. And you can, and I won't say that you'll get over this stuff that you, you know, had before, whatever. But if you take some time to address the trigger, what the root of that, you may never get over whatever triggers you, but you can get better at recognizing, oh, this is that old trigger. Got it. This is not even about today. This is about when I was 7. Got it.
Yep.
And I got left out of, you know, the game at school. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel left out. So then you can have your partner be innocent in the matter. You can actually take some power back for yourself instead of letting the trigger control you. But let's get back to sex, because that's why we're here. Which is what, this is the reason why I think it's so funny that sex is such a secret when we're literally all here because of sex.
I know.
It's so,
so bizarre.
It's so weird.
It's so bizarre. It would be like if we all didn't want to talk about oxygen.
Right.
You know, like, no, that's really taboo. Yeah. You shouldn't talk about it. Like, you shouldn't want too much oxygen. Why are you taking such deep breaths? What's wrong with you?
There's only a little bit. If there were more, we'd be on fire all the time. When we're talking about sex inside of a relationship, you know, unfortunately, most people socialized in our society, and probably because U.S. society, Western society, has been exported so thoroughly that we...
The cultural imperialism.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. Most people right now are actually having... They're aiming in their relationships for fantasy, fairy tale, or Hollywood ideals of relationship.
Yes,
everything's
amen.
Supposed to be fiery and amazing, like until you're 78. And then you kind of fade off into the distance holding hands.
Right.
I mean, I guess that's what happily ever after is. But like, what happens in between right now and happily ever after? Like, no one's giving you the what actually happens, and no one's talking about it overtly. Mm-hmm. It's been a secret. Our relationships are a secret. What's happening in our secret? I'm not satisfied is a secret. There's too much going on is a secret. We don't have enough money. That's a secret. Everything that goes on in our relationships is such a secret, and it only comes out when we're having problems. So the people who are doing well in their relationships actually aren't, they don't get hurt as much. And then the other image that we get is this rosy picture of you don't even need words to have amazing multi-orgasmic sex. It's just a montage.
We have just done the world such a disservice.
Oh my gosh.
With how we portray sex in
it's
movies
terrible.
And TV. I mean, it is awful.
It's terrible.
It's awful. It's just every time I see, and especially now, I'm like, okay, it's 2019. Like, if you're not doing sex scenes better by now, like get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need more of this. Like, goodbye.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm sorry, but you were, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's all good. No, it's real. Because the sex scenes suck. They're not real and they don't, this is the other part. We could do a little segue here, because this is where the masculine patriarchal standard of sex and how it's supposed to go gets overlaid over the entire experience. And I use heteronormative language because I'm primarily talking to heterosexual women.
Yeah.
The reason I talk to heterosexual women is because of the pleasure gap or the orgasm gap. Everybody's familiar with the pay gap. You know, a lot of people, you know, everybody's pissed. How come we can't get paid as much? But there's a really significant pleasure gap. And heterosexual women are the least sexually satisfied, the least of any gender, of any sexual orientation. That is
for sure.
Sobering.
That really is. That's crazy.
It's nuts.
Oh God. Yeah. We gotta do something.
Gotta do better. And
do
it's because, it's because our society, the sex that we have is oriented toward a man's body. A woman's body is not the same. It acts in some ways almost totally opposite to a man's body. And then also then layer on top of that, the shame that we have about our sexuality, about being sexual beings, we will disown our sexuality and leave it up to the man. The man, let's just get brass tacks here. A man has an organ that is approximately 5 to 8 inches. Some longer, some shorter, whatever the deal is. But that is vastly different from the primary sexual organ that women have, which is not our vagina.
Yep.
It is our clitoris.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how small that is? Do you know that the hot spot on the clit is like literally about a couple of millimeters? It is not that big. So you have someone who's orienting towards sex, who has a member that says go faster, harder,
deeper,
more. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And also it's a large distance compared to the you know, couple of millimeters that are really asking 8,000 nerve endings at that particular spot. Okay. So it's the head of a pin, 8,000 nerve endings. It is the most sensitive spot on anyone's body. That doesn't need a lot of pressure.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't need, you know, what it does need is slower, softer, more attention, less pressure. And then if you as a human being have that part of your body, it also stands to reason that the rest of your body could possibly respond in a similar way. You might need a little more time. You might need a softer touch. Okay.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of biological differences between men and women that actually play a huge role, not only in sex, but also in the way that our relationships run.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing about sex that makes it complicated is, like, there are some women who, you know, you could stimulate their clit for hours and they love it. There are other women who don't like that. Mm-hmm. There are some women who can have orgasms from, you know, vaginal penetration. There's some women who could
never do that in a million years.
There are women who have orgasms from anal penetration. I mean, it's not common, but, you know, like, so there's so many different variations. And I think that one of the problems in going back to what you were saying about how women, you know, we've been so socialized not to talk about sex, not to talk about desire, not to talk about what we want, that even getting women to a place where they can have that conversation with their partner to be like, no, let's do this. Or, ooh, I love it when you do this. Or let's, you know, is really, that's such a challenge. And that's such a hump, no pun intended. When you're working with couples, so they're all in, right? They're committed to the relationship. Yep. So how much of this is just communication?
So even the word communication it's a terrible word, because you're communicating all the time, whether you use your words or not.
That's true.
However, there are certain types of communication that are better than others. So if you are at a coffee shop and you want a very specific drink and you just say, to the barista. Not only that may they be calling for security, but they really won't know what you're talking about, okay?
Right.
You can't, especially when you're talking about the differences in different women's bodies. I've talked about a general standard of a woman's body is just different, but then there are different things within that. There are some women who like a lot of pressure for different reasons, and you think that's just it. Then there is how much pressure you can tolerate in the beginning versus 20 to 30 minutes later when you're fully engorged. Your internal clitoris is fully engorged. That is totally a different situation, and different people will want different things at that time. But you've got to have, I would say, something like a glossary of things and pieces and aspects of the pleasure that you like, that you are aware of in yourself. And this actually takes it back once again to you being responsible for yourself, bringing consciousness to your own sexuality, your own sexual self, your being, how you approach your sexuality. Because if you have shame, which most women have some level of shame, there are a few who feel pretty good about themselves. All of us were socialized to have shame around this. It's going to be very difficult, even if we want to communicate. The words get stuck.
So what's your advice to?
So one, you gotta get your vocabulary together. One, you gotta stop calling the whole thing a vagina. It's not.
The
vagina is literally just the hole. And also, there are women who actually, there are quite a few women, if they give themselves an opportunity, who could actually orgasm from anal penetration, because it's actually more sensitive than the vagina. It's more, there's more, there are more nerve endings.
The bulbs of the clitoris go wrap around. And
they do. Yeah. And all of the, when you're fully engorged, you're good no matter what is going on, pretty much. So one is vocabulary. Two, I would say, is willingness or safety. So willingness comes with safety with your partner. If you don't feel safe to share what's going on, that you got to take some remedial actions to be like, I don't feel safe with you to share what I have going on because of what happened the last time I did this, or I made a request and it went unheeded or you didn't listen to me, or you said no, I felt rejected. So usually there's something going on. If the person doesn't feel safe about what's going on, during the sex. And then the third part is don't have this conversation in the bedroom.
It's not the time.
Set aside some time to before you're going to go into the bedroom and have a list. Write it down. You write down everything else, especially, you know, my successful ladies, they write shit down or they've got it in their planner. They've got all these things about the rest of their lives that they're really committed to the quality of, you know, their experience in their work, their experience with whatever, their everything.
Everything except for
this is the same. You can treat it the same. I would like to have an orgasm every time we have sex, or I would like to at least have the option to do another activity if, you know, orgasm is not available, or, you know, my partner falls asleep, or, you know, can we negotiate to come back, or can we negotiate if I want to stop, if I get triggered about something. So you want to set that up ahead of time. There's before conversation, there's communication before, there's communication during, and there's communication after. Everything during gets a lot better if you have some agreements that are set up ahead of time.
Question for you. Yeah. Do you think that everyone has the potential to have a great sex life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The only people who are not included in that everybody are people who are asexual. There are some people on the planet, very few, but there are some people on the planet who are not sexually attracted to anyone. And that's cool. But if you are, if you are interested in having some kind of sex contact, you can have a more fulfilling sex life, but you have to be on board with doing some of the work that it's going to take. Cause there's a lot of, you know, if you lived a couple decades, you got some conditioning. All it takes is, you know, a couple decades, you're in. Now you got some drama going on.
So this also makes me think about something else you and I started to talk about last time we spoke. And I was like, no. I want to talk about this on the podcast. I don't want to know anything about it ahead of time because this is a brand new concept to me. But what is the relationship between hormones and sex?
Clearly. And there are also physiological structures. So not just hormones. A way that when a baby is in the womb, they get flooded with either estrogen or they get testosterone and androgen. Or they get a mix of that, and then you end up with folks who are intersex or kind of in between. Their gender expression is somewhere on the spectrum. But generally, you've got females with the estrogen and androgen and testosterone for males. This not only changes the physical body, but it also changes the brain. And some of this is the way that if we have different brain structures, we will end up seeing the world in a different way, communicating in the world in a different way. So for example, in sex and in relationship, and I'm going to put them together for right now, and then we can go back out to a generalized sex in a moment. But men, which by the way, our society is based on the masculine framework at this point in time, men will orient to the world in terms of what the world has to do with them and their personal experience. If it doesn't have anything to do with them, they're not really interested in it. Check your guy friends, you know, or your partners. Whoa, okay, got it. Yeah. Women orient to the world in terms of how does this relate not only to me, but and actually, how does it relate to everything around me? Yeah. We are much more cross-linked. We're social. We're taking in like what's happening. If this we're
holistic.
We're holistic in our thinking. We have a diffuse focus. We see literally everything. If there's a hair out of place on our friend's head, or if there's a sock on the floor, or if there is one piece of corn that's stuck in the, you know, on the back of the sink, we see it. If that corn has nothing to do with the guy in our life, he's not going to see it. Okay. He's just not going to see it. Okay.
It's so true.
Yeah. And then we'll get, you know, women will get mad about it. Oh, I can't believe you. You're so self-centered. Well, that's their job.
Interesting.
It's their job.
Okay.
So next step, needs. Needs are massive in sex. Men orient to their needs in terms of their needs are urgent and important. Women orient toward needs, generally speaking, as what are the needs of the whole? What are the needs of everyone here? I cannot tell you how many times I would be, if I had a nickel for every time a woman said, well, what about him? He's fine. I would have a lot of dollars.
He's always going to be fine.
Because his needs are urgent and important. You're the one whose needs are not getting met. Okay. So if you, now let's go into sex. So you've got someone who is oriented toward their own needs. Their needs are urgent and important. You can understand the level of urgency when that man gets a sexual urge. And this is not, you know, to say there's anything wrong with it. Actually, one of the things I do is help women to take a page out of the men's book to use for themselves in a holistic way. We need both.
You gotta tell us how to do that.
We need both. Well, one is to identify that you have needs. Admit that you have needs.
Yes, that's huge. And I have needs.
Needs are not the you have needs. Needs are not the same as being needy. It's not the same as being needy.
Yep. Yes.
Two different things. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's one conflation that women do all the time. I don't want to be needy. I don't know.
I know.
Don't.
We would be running the world by now.
Oh my God.
If we didn't have this hang up about not wanting to appear needy.
Yeah. Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Coming to the running the world, part of this is that we need both parts. We need the feminine and we need the masculine. We need them to work together so that we can run this world in a way that makes fucking sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, fucking sense and also fucking sense.
Fucking sense. You know all the senses.
Both, all the
regarding
senses.
Fucking. Okay. And so when you identify your needs, I need to feel safe. Massive. That would be massive. But if you don't feel safe to express, hey, I would like more oral sex. I want you to go down on me even after after you're finished, or go down on me first so that I can come. Because the other part that women don't understand is that sex gets better after we're super duper aroused. Too mm-hmm. often, because men are like, get to the point. Literally, they're trying to get to the point. If you're telling a long story, they're like, what's the point?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Women, generally speaking, they want to know the whole journey. Oh my God. And then what happened? Yeah. Okay. And then tell me. And this is why we love, unfortunately, we love gossip so much. And we love hearing about people's terrible situations. We want to know, well, how did it happen? It's okay. It's literally the way our brains are made. My favorite thing about our hunter-gatherer ancestry is, when you see a woman and she has a great outfit on or something, or a piece of jewelry that catches your eye or something, most often, one of you will either ask where you got it from, or you'll tell where you got it from, and you'll say how much it costs, which store you got it from. This is straight up.
I always do that.
This is
always
straight up hunter-gatherer shit. It's us being like, the best berries that won't make your family sick are on the bush. You have to go over three hills. It's next to the stream. It's the one with the pointy leaves, not the round leaves. And it's a red berry, not a purple one. Like, we had to share that level of detail so people wouldn't die. Yeah. That was our responsibility. This is our ancestry that lives in our brains that has us do that. Every time mm-hmm. I explain something like that to someone, I was like, hunter-gatherer brain.
It's so true. Yeah. I am the one. I'll be like, oh, and it's on sale. And if you get there before Friday,
right.
And then there's I will give you, I basically give you the receipt and drive you to the store.
Right. And a man going shopping will be like, okay, I need a shirt. That is what I'm going for.
Exactly. Oh, there's a shirt.
He's hunting a shirt. He's just hunting a shirt. That's it. That's all he's doing.
I know.
He's focused. Yeah. His single mm-hmm. focus. The other thing I want to make sure that I get in here is that his single focus is actually the thing that can help you feel safe in sex. Mm-hmm. If he's paying attention to you. If he's not overly hungry and if he's not super emasculated, he can pay the most excellent attention to you, which is all you really want. And that single focus is what helps him do that.
Okay. Talk to me more about that.
Yeah.
So if he's not overly hungry and he's not mm-hmm. emasculated.
So if he's emasculated, which, by the way, it's socially acceptable for women to emasculate men all day,
totally.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
That little smack of your lips, the way you roll your eyes, and it can be super subtle. You can sigh. You can shake your head oh so subtly, mm-hmm. or you can do what I call rapid fire daggers, which I've seen in one of my clients. I let this woman, I gave her 30 seconds and she shredded her guy in a session. She shredded him.
In 30 seconds?
30 seconds. She was like, I can't believe how you're so stupid. La, 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 da, 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 da. Yeah.
She said stupid?
Yeah, she said stupid.
Goodness. Don't we learn when we're like, for not to call anybody stupid.
Well, the thing is, and here's the beauty of relationship, he was attracting her because she was just like his mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there's something super familiar.
Yeah, he wouldn't be there if not for that.
It's super mm-hmm. familiar. Nothing wrong with it. It's just recognizing I still coach him. He's in a totally different, wonderful, beautiful relationship with a woman who doesn't do that with him at all.
Oh, wow. So they broke up.
Yeah, so they broke up.
Oh, wow.
But if you're emasculating men, whether it's really overt, like insults or whether it's really subtle, like men are so stupid, like whatever, oh my God, you're just rolling your eyes, but you're not saying anything out loud. If a man is living with emasculation over time, highly emasculated men often are lethargic, depressive, they're on the couch, they're unmotivated. So can you imagine, like, there's a woman who's watching her guy on the couch and all she has is like shit to talk about him because he's on the couch. Partially.
But that's keeping him.
Exactly. And we think it's helping. It doesn't. So that's emasculation. It's very subtle. My main guidance on this is stop it. And when you see women doing it, call it out. Like, it's not okay to talk shit about men like that. Don't do that. Like, it's not okay.
You know, even on a small, or like not even in a relationship context. I mean, I talk about this a lot with single women. It's like, you want to call a relationship, you want to call a man into your life. Yeah. Like, stop talking. Like, men are not trash. Yeah. Stop saying
stop.
That.
Stop it.
Like, stop saying like, all men are this, all men are that. I'm like, and I tell women, I'm like, just flip this for a moment. Imagine the man who's saying all of that about women. Do you want to date that man?
No.
Are you energetically going to be drawn to that man as like a respectful and loving partner? Yeah. Like, no. So we have to cut that out for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not helping anything.
Human beings are amazing. Human beings are amazing. And we have so much potential. And this is why I have this really bright outlook on what's possible for relationship. And I fight so hard for it because it's just the complementary nature of our natures is so cool when we work with it, when we work with what is possible. And we don't let the kind of societal norms run us. But I wanted to make sure I addressed like being overly hungry. We often, because we are set up in our society as the gatekeepers of sex, we need to stop. And we end up using sex, often women will use sex as a tool or as a bargaining chip. It turns sex into commerce, and and people have the nerve to talk about prostitutes. It's literally the same when you say, well, he didn't take me out to a nice enough restaurant, so he's not getting a blowjob.
Yeah, that is the same.
And so it's this commerce-based sex. And then
do a lot of women come to you saying things like that?
They don't say it overtly. What usually is happening is that she's super triggered by something that happened in the past but hasn't addressed it or made a request about what she wants differently. That's a massive problem. So then you sort of subconsciously are denying love to your partner, and then you can't get it together because you got all this resentment. Usually the best thing that helps this out is starting to reveal what's really going on. Sometimes I don't feel very sexy when I am, you know, I'm thinking about something that I'm pissed off about from 2 days ago that I didn't say. I'm pretty good about this now, but every now and then we have weird schedules in my relationship. We have kind of opposite schedules. And so sometimes it literally is a couple days that I can't get to it because we're just out of phase, you know? but if we're on phase, he's going to hear about it. I'm going to hear about what's going on for him. Similarly, in my other folks, I've had clients come to me and be like, I couldn't wait for this session. I just need to ask you what's happening. And I'm like, you know, that what
you get to do that.
What we've talked about is you sharing even awkwardly what's going on for you.
Yeah.
Even awkwardly. So that's really the guidance here is that the distance and lack of intimacy, lack of connection is often caused by our withholds. And sometimes, interestingly, it's our withholds, not just about the stuff that's bad, but stuff that's good. Like praising of our partners, like, I really appreciate the way that you were there for me when X, Y, and Z was happening. Start there. It doesn't have to be bad all the time. It could be completely, honey, I really appreciate who you are right now. I appreciate that you always or you often do X, Y, and Z. And then the other part is make requests, clean, deliberate, direct requests, which is extremely difficult for women because we tend to like want to make sure everybody's doing okay. I'm going to sound needy. So that's the tricky part. I can say this stuff all day, but the difficulty is in the execution when you're actually in the situation. You need support because your socialization is going to run right in there and your personal experience and your pain is going to run right in there and start running the conversation. And that's not conscious.
So let me ask you something. I know that you kind of have two parts. You work with single women, mm-hmm. and then you have this part of your business where you work with couples. Yep. And I obviously, being a heterosexual woman, that's more of your orientation and more mm-hmm. of your focus. But what's your, like, you know, we've been talking a lot about women and sort of the ways that we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot a lot when it comes to sex, it comes to relationships. What's some of your advice for men? Like, you were just to meet a guy and he's like, yeah, you know, my wife or my partner and I just feel like we're not, you know, really connecting sexually, and we don't have as much sex as I want, whatever. Yeah. Like, what's your advice for them?
The main thing is, this is gonna sound funny, don't believe her.
Okay, please expound on that.
Don't believe her. And just to be fair, I know we're in a context of Me Too and, you know, rape culture, and there's a bunch of stuff going on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about women inside of relationship who are trying to talk about something that's actually not going on. They're trying to, like, I will pick a fight because I'm frustrated about something my husband said. One of my clients went out to a bar and kissed a girl, but she wasn't willing to request the kind of sex she wanted at home. You know, so that's what I'm talking about. Don't believe. Just look a little deeper. See if you can see what's underneath it. Use your single focus to focus on the woman and don't talk. Like, just let her talk, because oftentimes men will try to solve the problem. And the men who have come to me about their relationships, because I have had that happen, the men will be on a fact-finding mission to solve the problem of their partner not having enough pleasure.
Well, at least they're on a mission.
They're amazing. They're amazing.
So that's fantastic.
They want to solve it. They're so cool about that. They will do anything. They will literally do anything. And that's a thing that women miss about men, is that, you know, they are so committed. When you're in their circle of commitment, you're in the loved ones, they will literally do anything they can, up to and including giving their life for you. It's massive. We can't relate to that. Women can't relate to that at all. We're like, I will give you the last piece of food I have, but let's share. I'm not gonna go without. Let's eat it together. We'll both be a little hungry.
You think so? Oh, you think that men? You think that men are more self-sacrificing than women? I don't know.
I promise you, for the healthy ones, they will do anything they can. I'm not talking about the ones who don't care or jaded or in pain.
Oh, yeah,
this is not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course those guys aren't. But I guess I'm thinking, I mean, I think that, you know, and for some mm-hmm. women, for a lot of women, yep. it's actually a problem, because the way that they see their value yep. is as being sacrificing. They see their value as being the person, I will, even though I'm hungry, I will give you the last crumb. Mm-hmm. Even though I need this, I will put your needs first and take care of you. Like, that's a massive problem for women.
Yes.
Being overly sacrificing.
Yes. And part of the issue with their self-sacrifices, women's self-sacrificing, is that oftentimes they're suffering and sacrificing, and they have not made a request for themselves on the behalf of themselves. They have not done that. So that,
yes.
that is a very different issue.
That's true. That's very true.
A woman can, if a woman can start to make a request, she will not feel as depleted. Women are often depleted because we fail to make requests.
Right. And set boundaries. Failure to set boundaries.
Yeah. Failure to set boundaries. Failure to say no. We're saying yes to things we don't want to say yes to. Men will not say yes to things they don't want to say yes to. And if they do, they'll, generally speaking, they'll get back to you on that. You know, I really didn't want that. A woman will, generally speaking, will go on for a very much longer time. Very.
You don't think that your husband says yes to things he doesn't want to say yes to? Just to
I'll hear about
you?
It.
I'm sure he does.
I'll hear about it. I mean, I will hear about it. He might say yes in the moment.
You'll probably hear. He'll say, like, you know, I'm only doing this because you want me to.
Yeah, and
or, you know, I'm only doing this because that's a thing that I think I think that men are very self-sacrificing in that sense when they're, you know, when they're in relationships. Like, they're like, okay, do I want to go to this, you know, sound bath, or like keep you company while you go shopping? Yeah. Like, no, I don't want to, but I will, because, you know, it's something that's important to you.
But then that's where the consciousness comes in, where I can say, it seems like you're not into this. Would you like to do something else?
Yeah. Do you think that goes part of also along with sort of maybe a bit of our emasculating culture of feeling like, I don't care if he wants to do it or not. Like, he'll be fine. He can just do, you know, he can just suck it up because that's what I want.
It'd be better to have an overt conversation about that. Have an overt agreement about, you know, I know you're not into the sound bath thing, but maybe, you know, come, I want you to experience it. If you don't like it, it's all good. But let me ask you, can we talk about it after, or something along those lines? Or it really makes me feel supported when you come to events. So we don't even give that feedback. We're just like having this guy, like, he can just come, whatever. And we're not talking to them about it. And that's a massive piece of sort of the dating conversation about, you know, when people are dating is another piece, is women will have conversations with each other extensively about what's going on in the relationship. They will not say anything to their partner, hoping that he'll get it.
Yeah.
Massive issue.
Mm-hmm. That is a massive issue. Yeah. I don't do that. I make a point of not to do that. I am like, yep. I used to do that. Oh my God. I have friends who I'm like, I can't believe you're still friends with me. After having like, God bless you. I have like three friends in particular that I'm like, they stuck with me through all my 20s of hearing the same shit over and over again. Totally. I'm like, I don't know how you put up with me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much. You're awesome.
Now I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. And it's a wrap. And that's not to say that some support is not necessary sometimes. Talk to your girlfriends. But I really like bringing consciousness to girlfriends as well. If you have a really emasculating girlfriend who talks shit about men often, you're not being a good girlfriend if you let her keep it up.
Yeah.
Similarly, you know, if you have someone who is talking shit about themselves, like, do not let your sisters talk shit about themselves. Do not do that. Be a growth-based girlfriend. Mm, be growth-based.
Be growth-based. Yeah. Just be growth. Just, if everyone could just be
growth-based. Hello. Have a growth mindset. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
It would be amazing. It would be an amazing, amazing place. Well, okay. So I guess, do you have any, and I'm sure you do because you have so many gems, but just to kind of put a button on this awesome conversation, that we covered a lot of topics, but it's all still really obviously related. Kind of, what is your sort of main message that you want to send out there to single people and to people in relationships? Because there are both who are listening right now.
Yeah. The main thing is, if you don't have a vision of the kind of relationship you desire, you're going to be dealing with people on a case by case basis. Specifically, even if you're in a relationship, if you don't have a picture or an idea in your mind, or written down, even better, of what you're looking for, even if you're in a relationship, you're going to be comparing forever and a day, comparing this person with other people.
Yeah.
The more powerful thing is to compare your current living circumstance with your ideal or your vision, so that it depersonalizes and brings it cleans up your energy when you focus on a vision rather than focusing on like exes or, you know, this person who's in your life right now.
I so co-sign. I say this all the time. It's especially with women. They're like, oh, you know, I'm dating this guy and I don't know if he's the one and he's this and he's that. And I'm like, okay, just like stop for a second, like put him aside, because you need the clarity on what you actually need in a relationship to feel fulfilled outside, independent of this person. And once you have that foundation, then it becomes easy. This person is a yes or this person is a no, right? Like, it becomes easy when you have that vision. So yes, co-sign the vision. Yes.
Okay. And include pleasure. Include pleasure in the vision. Include your pleasure in the vision. When you have more pleasure, and this is another piece of this is related to our gender differences in sex and relationships. Is when women are filled up, turned on, resonating, oozing with pleasure, we are so generous and awesome in relationship. So make pleasure a priority so that you can be giving from the overflow rather than obligation.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Yes. Okay. Actually, and that does lead me to one more question.
Sure.
What do you think people are, and I've got people ask me this question and I'm like, I'm not the person to ask. This is so personal, but maybe I'm sure you have a more insightful answer than I do. How much sex should we be having?
There's no set amount. Some people have a higher sex drive, and what I find actually is people who are more physical want more sex, generally speaking. Sex and babies and reproductive energy is a bonus activity of your body. Mm-hmm. So if you are a healthy person who's physically active and moving and that kind of thing, you're just going to be more in touch with your reproductive/pleasure center that happens to reside between your legs in your pelvis, okay? You're going to be more in touch with that as well. So for people who have low libido, that kind of thing, you may want to take a look at increasing your physical activity. People who have diabetes or, you know, literally have problems with blood flow, heart disease, all those things, blood flow affects your sexual organs as well. So you won't have a lot of turn on. So it's not about a number. It's about quality and the quality of your life. Just like the quality of the relationship is so critical. And that's what helps us to even be turned on by our partners. So it's really not about like these measurements and all this stuff. Well, how much is too much? How much is it? It's amazing when you feel pleasure in your body. So how can you involve in your life things that feel better to you? Where are you being resentful? Where do you feel spread too thin? Are you taking time out? And I'm not talking about mani-pedis. I'm just talking about straight up saying no when you feel overwhelmed. Say no. That will turn you on.
It's true. Making more time for yourself, having more balance in your life. Yeah. And then also, I just want to say also about, you know, sex and pleasure. And I learned this from my friends over at Sluts and Scholars, amazing podcast, if you haven't listened to that. And I interviewed them a couple months ago. And, you know, it was really like, sex is basically anything that brings you pleasure. Totally. So I think another thing that couples get hung up on is thinking like they have to have intercourse. They have to have intercourse, intercourse, intercourse. It's like, no. You don't always have to have intercourse, right? And like, you can do other things and it's still sex if you're enjoying it, if it feels good and you're pleasing each other. So I think that that is an important thing for people to remember as well when it comes to thinking about sex and pleasure and how to integrate it more into their life and not feeling like it has to be a penis going in a vagina and that's sex.
Oh my God. Please expand your definition of sex. This is one of the first. I actually take orgasm and intercourse off the table when people are having really tough issues. I literally take it off the table. Stop trying to come. Stop it. Take off, do other things other than penis and vagina sex. Everything is sex. A flirt from across the room can be sex. A touch on the back of the arm, the back of the neck, you know, whatever, it can be sex. You got to expand it. And it also, that also is a way that we focus on the masculine construct of sex, is that it's just this activity. No, it's not. That's get to the point. No, it's the entire journey. And women hold that. That's one of the things that if we really honor our pleasure that we can share and offer and connect with and provide in our relationship, we can, that's what men are coming to us for in the first place. They're coming to us for the journey. We have the journey inside us. We have, you know, there are many scholars, philosophers / mystical people who have said things like, even the Buddha said that enlightenment is in the vagina.
Dang.
You know, we got magic. We got magic here.
Buddha knew what was up.
And also, and here comes my little mystical side as well, is like most of the enlightened teachers became enlightened through a feminine principle, not a masculine principle. We hold that. get the gravity of that. It's massive. And so when we don't honor our femininity and we're trying to orient toward masculine ways of being, then we actually don't have access to that for ourselves and we can't provide it in our relationships. And really our relationships are to wake us up. Our relationships are to, how can I be the best possible self that I can be? And this other person can help me facilitate that.
Amazing. So I think you've already said this, but I have one final question for you. Well, not a super final, because I want to also just really quickly ask you to tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you. And I'm going to link to all of your social media and your website in the show notes. So those of you who are listening, you will be able to connect with Tazima. And so we've got all that. So in addition to if there's anything specific that you're working on and, you know, ways for people to reach out to you, that's the second question. Yep. But the first question is, and the first last question is, if you had a megaphone and you could send one message out into the world, what would it be? And everyone's going to hear it.
Being a human being makes you a sexual being.
Yes. I want to hear that. I want to hear that just like echoing through the
room. and it's fine. It's great. God made it that way. Hello.
Yeah. I think you should get some t-shirts made.
Probably.
Really, I think that's really good, actually. That's genius. Okay, amazing. All right. And so now for the second last question, how can people get in touch with you? How can they work with you? How can they learn more about what you do?
Absolutely. First, the best way you can get a flavor of my work is to visit my Instagram page. I post my theories and insights and things that I've experienced and all of that, and sometimes some fun pictures, and you can see what I'm doing. I often post there events that I'm going to do or am doing. Facebook, of course, it's my personal page. You can, you know, send me a message either way. And on the website, so infiniterelating.com, the Instagram is Tazima Paris, at Tazima Paris. My Facebook is facebook.com/Tazima, and Infinite Relating is my website. On the Infinite Relating website, you can reach out to me to take the first step to have a little conversation with me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a sheet. I have a form you can fill out that is for your relationship vision so that you can actually have that thing no matter where you are in relationship. If you're just starting to date somebody, this isn't actually an excellent time to do a vision. Excellent. But it's kind of going good. I like it. Yeah, I know you still need a vision. I know. I get that all the time. I'm going to just wait. Yeah, wait till it turns into the same thing. Anyway, so yeah, I can send you the relationship vision, and we can then have another conversation about that. So you can have two little touch points with me, and we can see how I can support you, because I do have a bunch of resources, and it might just be a little like, check this out, check this website out, or check this resource out, or it might mean that we can do a little more deeper work together. And
Yes.
Get you what you need.
Yes. Yes, everybody, please connect with Tazima. And like I said, all the links will be in the show notes, so everyone will be able to do that. And please stay in touch with me. Thank you so much for listening. And, you know, if you have any questions, this episode probably, I know that I'm like, oh, there's so many things I want to think about and digest that we talked about today. And if you're feeling the same way, of course, reach out to Tazima, but you can also reach out to me. I'm definitely going to have Tazima back on the podcast if she'll come back.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so we can, you know, we can do questions and, you know, get deeper into any of the amazing topics that we touched on today. So stay in touch with me. You can reach me. I'm on all social media at Dear Franny. Easy to find. And please share this podcast if you found it valuable. If you're like, oh my God, I learned something today I never heard before, I never thought about before, please share it with your friends, with your family. Let's get these conversations out there. Let's all embrace this growth mindset and really embrace our sexuality and intimacy and connection. Like, let's just be the change we want to see in the world, right?
And there you have it, my conversation with Tazima. I hope that you found it as enlightening and as entertaining as I did. If you like what you hear in this podcast, please, please take a moment to review us. Take a moment to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And you can stay in touch with me on all social media at Dear Franny. You can follow the podcast on Facebook and Instagram at Dear Franny Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes where I'll have links to all of Tazima's social media and her website. Wherever you are in the world, thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and I hope you have a beautiful day. Goodbye.